That little bit at the end puts fear in the heart of every pastor that reads it, but on second thought, doesn't it apply to all parents in a way? What's more important than our children and the example we're setting? So we're not the only ones on the hook with that gospel. Jesus created everything. And when he came to earth and he became a human being, a part of what he was doing in those 3 years that he taught was to be able to communicate with us on our level. His world, our home, the place we're meant to be, is so different from this world that we cannot, with language, describe it. St. Paul saw it and he said he could not describe it. Jesus can only use analogies. He fished around for the best ways of describing the world to come and how we are supposed to prepare while we're living fully in this world, but looking toward the next one. How do you describe it? It's like you're talking to a first grader, you know, about very advanced physics. You can't use the same language. So Jesus pulls out one of his favorite images, which is a wedding. And he so often describes the next world as a wedding banquet. Either we're the ones being married, or we're at the reception, or we've got a place for us, and it's nothing but rejoicing, and a wedding lasted a week during his time, which is an amazing thing. Can you imagine preparing that if you're getting married? And so Jesus, in this gospel, it's a little different than the other ones, because in this one, Jesus is saying, it's just like if I'm the master and you're the steward, and I've gone off to the wedding. In other words, we're not at the wedding. Jesus has gone back to heaven. He came to earth, became a human being, got married. How did Jesus get married when he was here? He got married to the human race. God Almighty's Son, fully divine, took a human body forever. That alone is enough to make you think all week, isn't it? Imagine the dignity of humanity. No angel can say that. I just can't believe it. And so he married us. He goes back to the wedding feast. And ever since then, although there is no time in heaven, it's been one continuous wedding feast. Sounds like a great time, doesn't it? We're not sitting on clouds playing harps in heaven. Think about it for a minute. It's going to be a great time. And so we are invited because we're married to God. But we have to prepare. We are not there yet. Mass is a place where we're touching heaven and earth just for an hour. We're still fully here, but we're kind of in between there. And so Jesus says, I want you to be prepared. And he would use modern imagery, I think. He'd say, I'm going to send my stretch limo to come pick you up. Sometimes we do quinceañeras, if you know what those are, and there's five stretch limos sitting out here, you know, with the 15-year-old Hispanic girl coming out party. Well, that's what I want to come pick me up, you know. Or a cool getaway car, you know, something like that. Those are sometimes more fun to see than the wedding itself. So Jesus says, I'm not thinking of any of yours, you know. So here's our wedding invitation. It's sitting by the door. It's our baptism. It is our faith. And it's sitting right there, ready to be picked up so we won't lose it. All of us are holding an invitation to the wedding. Remember, he invites everyone, but not everyone holds on to it. And he says, so here's the images he's using, and we have to unpack them a little bit. He says, keep your lamps lit and your wick trimmed. Most of us don't have a wick to trim, do we? I mean, you all have a hurricane lamp at home. You know how you have to turn that little dial periodically? We have to keep watching the flame. Even in marriage, in priesthood, in any commitment, the flame waxes and wanes. It's not always burning at full intensity. You'd burn out. Yesterday's wedding. Was anybody here at the wedding yesterday? A couple people? No? Well, we had a unity candle. Normally we put the unity candle up here. But for that wedding, for the first time since I've been here, we put it over there. That was great. The couple, very, very romantically, I told them to take their time because usually the music lasts five times longer than this, the lighting, and then they stand here nervously staring at each other for 5 minutes. So they took their time and they did everything perfectly. And they lit the two candles, which separate, which means two becoming one. And they light the center candle, which is a lot taller. And the music played, and it went out. And they lit it again, and it went out again. It went out six times. Everybody was howling with laughter by that time. The bride was really cool. Some brides would think their marriage was ruined if this happened, you know. And I said, no, it's a good sign. Everybody's candle goes out. The point is that it's going to keep getting relit. This is a great sign. I really saw it that way. See, what you need at your wedding is a good presider that can dig you out of these holes when they come up. You plan all year and you end up with a fan. And then I'm back there. My wedding coordinator was back there. I'm trying to get her to turn the fans off. I'm not going to tell you who it was. I'm going like this. And she's in the back. Hi, Father. So anyway. There were other disasters that occurred at this wedding, but they didn't involve me, you know, fortunately. The ring bearer wouldn't come up, so he had to be carried up and howling and bawling. Last wedding I did, there was a ring girl and a flower boy. How about that for a change? Anyway, so Jesus says, keep that wick trimmed. Your flame is going to wax and wane. You got to keep the oil in the flask. We do this by praying every day. If you're letting your prayer life slip, the wick is burning down. If you're not coming to Mass on Sunday, you are not fully committed to the Lord. Your flame is going to get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Where are you going instead? Because that's where your heart's going to lie. Am I still keeping up the way I treat other people? Do I examine my heart on a regular basis? Do I go to confession if I have a serious sin? If I'm not doing these things, the flame is going to get dimmer and dimmer. All of us go through that. So when we realize the flame's starting to go out, we turn up the gas a little bit. It's true in marriage too, isn't it? You have to work on it. It's not easy to be committed to each other, to your spouse, or to God. And then he says, gird your loins. I'd love to have an explanation of what that means. Somebody after Mass at the last one said he thought it meant grab your underwear. I should have said that. Strike that from the... Can you erase that? He's not going to erase it, I can see. I usually test out these clunkers before the 10:30 Mass so they don't get broadcast to Iraq. So what he means is he's using an image from the Passover. At Passover, when the Lord rescued the people of Israel, they didn't have any chance to prepare at all. They had to take their food without leaven. They girded their loins. All they did, they have these flowing robes that they would wear. They grabbed the robes and they tied them around them. This is what Jesus would do. He'd tie up his robes so he could run. You can't run in an outfit like this. Sometimes I want to run, but... You know, the monks at Mount Angel, they have the scapular, they have the... what is this thing underneath? Oh, I can't seem to remember. Anyway, they have their inner... They have the scapular, and you may have seen this. I was a novice once, and I did it myself. The scapular's here, so they'll tie the scapular around their waist so that they can work harder and faster. And this is what Jesus is saying. What he means is, I'm going to call at an unexpected time and in a moment that you do not anticipate. This happens almost every week to us, doesn't it? Those things that we weren't expecting and suddenly we're on trial. We didn't expect it. I'm always sharing them with you. You have the same things. But there will come that ultimate moment when I'm going to be called to the wedding. And if I'm not ready, that limo may pull away without me. There was somebody here a couple of months ago or so who was over at Avamere, and they wanted a priest to hear their confession. I was not here that day. She had 2 hours to live. What was she doing for the last 80 years? I felt bad, but I wasn't here. I would have dropped everything if I had been across the street, but I don't live in my house all the time. Jesus says, I'm going to call you at the first watch, or the second watch, or the third watch. That's the way they describe the night hours. I may call you at childhood, which we call a tragedy. I may call you in adulthood. He died so young. I may call you in old age. It was his time. It's never time. Be prepared. And then he says, I want you to have hope. This is not a bad thing. Gird your loins. That means have your suit hanging by the door. We can't wear our good suit in everyday life, but we can have that good dress, that tuxedo, pressed and cleaned and right by the door. If you find it's getting soiled, send it to the laundromat. Go in and repent and be ready. That garment that you're going to put on is your baptismal garment, and it will shine like gold in the next world. We can't get in dressed improperly. So our Lord tells us to be prepared. And then there's a fourth wedding image that he uses. It came before the teaching, and it said, sell your possessions and give alms. Get yourself a purse that will never wear out, where no thief can destroy it. I didn't tell this to the other masses, but when my sister got married in 1963, she's passed away. It would have been her 65th birthday yesterday. I celebrated Mass for her, got kind of teary-eyed. I saw her name up on the altar. I said, oh my God, she's 65 today. But they had all their wedding presents in an old Volkswagen that they had. They went in to get some coffee for a minute, and they came back, and they were all gone. Our Lord said, don't put your trust in things that may get stolen. Instead, do you have a present waiting for God? Do you have something wrapped by the door? Are you investing properly? Because when he calls, and it may be very fast, you won't have time to start putting money in the IRA. You're going to have to grab what you have saved for him and go. And everything in the house will be left behind forever. That's a Passover image. They only took what they could carry. All their other physical investments had to be left behind. So our Lord tells us, be smart. Don't be one of these people that deserves a beating on the last day because they said, oh, I've got so much time. I will repent later and have a good time now. He says, the whole point of life is because you have a place in the kingdom of God. I've said this before, but when my great-grandparents had their 50th wedding anniversary, it was a very big deal. I was very little, but my parents paid for an airline ticket for me to go back to Ohio to be there, and I'm so grateful that they did. We all had little place settings in the Polish Club, which they built back in Akron, helped build, and each of us had a place setting there. It was the only time I've ever seen my entire family together that wasn't a funeral or something. And I always think heaven has got to be like that. Many of those people are gone now, but I believe that somewhere in that world, that same setting exists with my name on it. And I want to have the suit by the door. I'm listening for the limousine. I keep it clean. I keep my wick trimmed. I watch when the lamp begins to burn down a little bit. I gird my loins. In other words, I get going each day and start over again. And we're people of hope. You see, this is our hope. This is not meant to be a depressing reading at all. You are invited to a wedding. Isn't that a great thing? So all of us are called to anticipate the wedding banquet of the kingdom of heaven. And isn't that, in fact, the Mass? Isn't that, in fact, our lives?